Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and you are listening to NABWIC Talks. NABWIC is the National Association of Black Women in Construction, and we are the voice of Black Women in Construction. Good morning again. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder helping you to build a stronger and better life. And we have a wonderful guest scheduled for you today. But we're going to tell you a little bit about our organization and how we represent you as we build communities. The vision of the National Association of Black Women in Construction is to encourage, support, and uplift African-American women in the construction industry. And we do that by encouraging young black girls and young women to consider the construction industry and study STEM in that area. We also support our members by helping to create opportunities for work as we build our communities. And today, as a part of building our community, we understand through our legislative program and our legislative agenda that voting counts and every vote counts. And because today we have on our show Jerry Holland of the Duval County Supervisor of Elections, he's going to share with us one particular county in the United States and why voting counts and how you can make a difference in your area as you educate us about the voting in Duval County. Good morning, Mr. Holland. How are you this morning?
Oh, very good. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Jerry Holland was elected into office in the 2005 special election himself, actually. He is honored in having the opportunity to serve the citizens of Duval County for the last 7 years and re-elected in 2011 without opposition. Now, Jerry, without opposition, that is mighty powerful.
Oh, let me tell you, that's the red line. I will tell you, that's the best election of all. You know,
that is the best.
I tell my staff, it's a reflection of the entire staff. It means we're doing a good job. It means someone says, you know what, we want him to stay, and, you know, no one even wants to run against you. I mean, that's wonderful, but right now we've got term limits, so I'll end my job as Supervisor of Elections June 30th, 2015, and I will tell you it's been the most enjoyable job I've ever had.
Excellent, excellent. Well, throughout the supervisor, the supervisor's term in office, he has registered 64,415 students in countywide student voter registration drives held each school year. Supervisor Holland's goal is to introduce students to the electoral process to strengthen the foundation of our democracy and to continue educating future generations. Now, you know, that's a model, Mr. Holland, that could be duplicated all over the United States. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I remembered even when I was in high school, and back then, to register, you had to go, for us, we lived out toward the beach, which was probably 20 miles from downtown. You had to go downtown to the Supervisor of Elections office, and, you know, it was difficult. I mean, it was not something, you know, it was easy to get access to. And so what I wanted to do is really, you know, involve people right off the bat. So we got involved and went to all our high schools. In fact, every year we have an annual program where we go in for about 3 days into every high school, college, and university in our county and give them that opportunity to register. We've seen it to be very successful.
Now, I'm curious, though, have any other counties partnered with you in this concept, either through the League of Cities or the mayor's or the governor's offices or even some of the Democratic or Republican parties? Have anyone looked to duplicate what you're doing?
A lot of them will do it once a year, but they won't do it to the extent that we do it. We want to make sure that we're not, you know, the state says we need to go into every school once a year, but we don't do that just to meet that obligation. We want to go if we get every student an opportunity to register, you know, that was eligible to register. And so we're really in there saying, hey, we want to be there long enough so everyone who had that opportunity to do that, because sometimes you go in there for one day and they're on a blocked schedule and, you know, they don't have access the day that you're there, or they're out sick or something. So we just really just saturated each of the schools to make sure we really got coverage.
That is excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, Supervisor Hollins, even though he has served for those years, he is during his first term in the council, he also earned a master's degree in education and his bachelor's of business in administration and transportation and logistics from the University of Florida. That is awesome. That is awesome. And I'm sure that once your term is over, you may consider utilizing those degrees in some way, shape, or form, correct?
Well, without a doubt. What I'm looking at now is, and I've got like a 26-year history in construction and real estate. I'm a licensed general contractor, real estate broker, licensed appraiser. And my next challenge I'm looking at is running for property appraiser and really applying those skills in that profession. So I do have, I hope to have that opportunity to serve the public more in the next term.
Well, that sounds like a trek. So we won't, we'll save that for another day, because for the mere fact that you have helped to register so many voters, now we can understand why you run unopposed, I should say. That is excellent strategy, even if it was not intended. But what I'd like to do now is just ask if you can share with us, how did your 2014 elections go in the Duval County area?
It went very well for what we call midterm elections, which is in the state of Florida where our governor is elected and our state house and Senate. Some of those are up for election, as well as obviously we have the congressional seats, school board, and some of the other ones, and some of our municipalities. We had about a 50% turnout. You know, I'd love to see more people participate in the midterms. Our presidential elections is when we get our highest turnout, usually around 75 or 80% turnout. But we had a what we call a good midterm election. We had some close ones. I will tell you, you talk about every vote counting. I have one race right now which is sitting tied. And so we're waiting for the military overseas is given 10 days from election to get their ballots in. And we're waiting to see if any of those come in to break that tie.
Wow, tied. Wow. You couldn't plan that. Even if you planned it, it wouldn't happen like that.
No, you're exactly right. And it's for the Neptune Beach City Council member. And they both have 1,448 votes. And you'll be interested in what happens in the state of Florida if you have a tied race.
And what is that?
Well, actually, the supervisor election has to devise a game of chance such that these people will actually decide, if it's still tied, who wins by game of chance. And what we'll actually do is we'll put 20 ping pong balls numbered in a bag, and they will actually reach into it, and the one who grabs the highest number will be the next Neptune Beach City Council member. And that's what the statute says, a game of chance.
I don't know if I would like to have my future depending upon that. So I think your strategy is the best, and that is to help get out the vote, because when you help get out the vote, people remember forever that you were the imp that caused them to, first of all, to register to vote, and then from then on they will always remember you as they do vote. So the Neptune individuals who are in this race may really want to look at that in the future. Now, can you share with us if there were any additional surprises in any of the results similar to this?
I would say from a result standpoint, we didn't have any upsets in Duval County. It did voted the trend. We did see, from a party standpoint, we saw 60% of the Republicans come vote, where only 47% of the Democrats came and voted. And so that really trended. We also saw in the governor's race where Governor Scott got 60,000 more votes statewide and 34,000 more votes in Duval County. So it was a county that went very strong for the incumbent, which really made a difference in the election there. And really the turnout, it just, we thought more would be, you know, both Democrats and Republicans. Republicans came to vote, but it did not engage the Democrats locally to come to this gubernatorial election as much as the other party.
Well, now that's very interesting, and I think it should really take note. And for our members, one of the reasons why we're doing this show is because we do have a legislative agenda and a legislative committee of our organization, and we strongly encourage education in the voters registration area and just learning about the candidates and the impact that the candidates would have on our business. And so there is an organization that I'm a member of that says, you know, either get into politics or get out of business. And so that's the ABC Associated Builders motto. And as a contractor, and our organization is about construction, you know, every vote counts when you talk about the impact that it's going to have on your bottom line. So oftentimes we don't really realize that. Now that the election is over, will you share with us your thoughts about the idea that you have about going to online voter registration?
Yes, and I tell you, that's one of our biggest legislative agenda items. I'm right now the state president for the Florida State Association of Supervisors of Elections. And each year, as our state legislators go into session, we look at voting rights and election laws and try to see how we can change those laws to really make sure that more people have access, that more people are registering. And one of the things we really looked at was online voter registration. You know, we talked about, you know, at the beginning of the show where it was difficult when I was in high school to register. And even though we're out there in high schools, it's still sometimes the people that may move into a county, you know, the access to trying to get registration. Online voter registration is an outstanding way that they can go online now, or will be able to, is what we're advocating, and actually be able to register online through the state. And what it does is it makes sure that the application is completely filled out. It's more secured. There's less fraud because there's a way to make sure that you put the right information in and that it doesn't become an incomplete application. That's one of the problems we have now is people will fill out a paper application somewhere. There won't be someone to help them, and they'll leave off blanks. And then we've got to chase them down to get all the information. And an online application, you have to fill out as you go, and it tells you, you know, you haven't completed line 7, you haven't done this. So it's really a way that we think is more secure and will give everyone access by way of the Internet to register to vote that's eligible to vote.
Wow, that's going to be amazing. Now, what are we looking forward to in terms of a timeline? Where are you in that process? Do you think it will happen in 2015, 16, 17?
I'm hoping. We're pushing that it happens in the 2015 legislative session. And, you know, what we're trying to advocate, too, and our supervisors throughout the state, we try to make sure that, you know, we really give the facts to them. And a lot of times, you know, people look at changes to legislation, to election laws, and they'll say, well, does this benefit one party or the other? And we've got statistics showing, you know, 22 states have already gone to online voter registration. And it really doesn't help one party or the other. It helps everyone. And, it, you know, it shows that the same amount of each party still registers. It just gives access a lot easier. So we're hoping that people don't get, you know, bogged down in party politics, and they'll look at this as something that is a more secure way of registering and something that really will help anyone who wants to register really do a good job of filling out their application.
Well, we want to thank you for the idea, and you are doing a good job. Let NABWIC say that. We are really, really, really honored, especially in the Duval County area, to have you representing all of us. And although I'm from Dade County, I am I'm making myself a part of that county. But right now we're going to go to a commercial, and we're going to introduce Rosa Carter, who is in the Duval County area, and have her share a little about our organization. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You are listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Our mission is to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry, to empower, encourage, support, and advocate for black women in business to further their membership and opportunities. Please feel free to visit our Blog Talk website at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Feel free to call in to our guest, Mr. Jerry Holland, Supervisor of Election for Duval County, for questions or comments at 714 450-459-3918. Please press 1 to join the conversation. Thank you, and we're back.
All right, thank you so very much for that, Rosa. We want to also let our listening audience know, if you just tuned in to the show today, you have missed a treat, and you must go back and re-listen to the first part of the show, because our guest today is Jerry Holland, and he is the Duval County Supervisor of Election. And with that, Terry, can you share with us a little bit more about how did you get into this area in the first place?
Well, very interesting. First, as I mentioned before, I was actually a contractor and a home builder, and I ran for city council in 1999. Actually, I ran the first time in 95, and at the end of election night, I was 6 votes ahead, and the absentees came in, and I lost by 46 votes. And I came back 4 years later in 99 and ran for city council again, served 4 years, ran for a second term, became the city council president. And while I was on the city council, I really got involved in elections, serving on their canvassing board, being involved as a poll worker, and the supervisor in Duval County had become sick, and the governor removed him because he was sick. And so I said, you know, I've got this passion for elections, and I really want to run for this. And I just felt led, you know, I said, God, give me the peace about running for something else, and felt led to run for supervisor of elections, and was elected in that special election in 05, and it really has become a career path that I've just really enjoyed.
Okay, now, you just took us to another place that ordinarily I don't go there unless the guest goes there. So when you ask for God's peace, that automatically let us know who and why you are, the spirit that you are, because when you try the spirit by the spirit, it does not lie. So thank you so very much for following that lead and really, really blessing us. And what I'd like to do before I go to another question, I'd like to suggest that offline we would really like to meet with you on a one-on-one and talk about a strategic partnership with our organization in terms of the areas that we have chapters. We would love to take this idea and this concept to the supervisor of elections in our area, especially as it relates to online voting and also as it relates to us helping to encourage graduating high school students, but also college students to vote. So we'll leave that for another show. Now, can you share with us what is the process involved in gaining the rights to vote after a felony conviction?
Well, and it's really, we try to when people come to us and say they've lost their rights, you know, we go through the process of going, okay, if you've done your time and you've paid your restitution, you know, then you have to go through the clemency board. And I will say there have been times in our government that it's been easier to get your rights restored, you know, but we try to explain to them also once they get their rights restored, they do have to re-register. That's a separate process. And we just try to give them the right telephone numbers, who to contact, who to check on to see, you know, what their status is. But it's a pretty long process. I'm an advocate of this, is that, you know, if people have made a mistake and they've done their time and their paid restitution, then they ought to be able to give them back in this society and be given back those rights of voting and become back to a responsible citizen. So we've always been an office that's really advocated for people to get back involved and vote and encourage other young people to vote too. So hopefully it'll become easier in the future for people who've really you know, had that opportunity to restore their life and get back on the voter rolls also.
Well, you know, but for the grace of God go every single one of us, and you just never know what the future holds for you. And so it is so very important to make that an opportunity and a fair process so that all who have, like you said, who have served have an opportunity to cast their vote. Now, what I'd like to do now is just ask you if there's anything that you would like to share with our listening audience that you think is of importance as it relates to voting, because it's very important that we understand voter education, and that's a whole other area all by itself that oftentimes we don't know what we don't know.
Well, you're exactly right. Well, first, I'd share to the listeners this, is your vote is very important. You know, as we talked about the race that's tied, and we've seen other races that are very close, you know, a lot of times people get in this mindset of, it's just one vote. Does it make a difference? It does. You know, and your vote, you know, when you're an active voter, people learn that, you know, you do your homework. You know, you're one of those people that goes out and researches the candidates. And, you know, every candidate, a lot of people don't realize this. If you're a voter, and I can tell you as a candidate in 6 different elections, I respect those voters who do their homework, who want to know something. I mean, if they call me up and say, listen, tell me what you stand on this and how do you believe about this issue or this issue, I want to share it. And voters don't realize how much power they have in knowing that they've got that vote and they use it. You know, we have a term for people who vote in every election. They're called super voters. And let me tell you, candidates, the first thing they do when they come in my office, and it's public information, is they say, give me the list of the super voters. Give me those people who's going to vote in every election. And that's what I encourage people to be, a super voter, because then you're on the top list. You're on the A list for candidates. They want to know what your thoughts are about issues. They want to know where you are on positions. So that's what I encourage people to be. Your vote is important. And if you vote in every election, you can become known as a super voter. And I tell you, you'll be the most important person in any candidate's life. And I think that's important.
Thank you so very much for that. I want to also let our listening audience know that Supervisor Holland and his wife, Beverly, have one son, Brian, married to Kylie and a proud grandparent. Kylie. Excellent, excellent. What is it like to be a grandparent when you talk about your grandchild may end up running for office or may become the president of the United States?
Oh, I tell you, it is so awesome. I mean, we've got Ethan, who's 4 years old, and we've got Liam, who's just about 7 months. And we're, you know, our family is such a close-knit family. In fact, I got to share this also. If y'all ever watched the TV show The Voice, it comes on Monday night. My nephew's on that, and he competed Monday night, and tonight we find out whether he makes it to the final 12. And that's about family. It's about encouraging, you know, the people in your family, whether it be your grandchildren or your son or daughter-in-law or anybody. But it's about encouraging them to do their best. And so we're excited tonight. In fact, you know, just before I did this interview, I was actually being interviewed by our local TV station to talk about my nephew. And it makes you so proud when you see young people excel and do their best. And I love it, whether it's my son or someone else's son. But I love to see someone really strive to do their best. And really, and most of the time, when people are doing that, they really enjoy what they do. And that's encouraging.
Wow. Well, congratulations in advance, because regardless of what place he places tonight, he's already a winner. And so if he just keep that drive and that vision for what he loves to do, it's going to all be all right. So that is excellent, excellent. Now,
Carter. His name is James David Carter, and he'll be on tonight. So let's see how he does. But thank you for letting me mention that.
Absolutely. James David Carter. And I'd like to encourage you to take this show and promote it to everyone so we can make sure that, you know, they don't let you vote. That's not the one that you vote, is it? I don't think it's the one that you can vote.
Yeah, you can vote. Yeah, in fact, you can vote now. It doesn't happen in our elections, but in that one, you can actually vote 40 times, okay? And believe me, that's not in our elections. That's in the Voice, and you can vote up to 40 times.
Well, listen, let's make sure we all go online and vote. So if you know that number that we're supposed to, you know, once I think it pops up on the show, it tells you text this number or something like that, and then you can vote. So we will make sure that we look for that show and that we vote and support him, because every vote counts.
You got it.
Now,
you definitely got
exactly.
It.
As we begin to wrap up the show, one of my closing questions to all of our guests is, what is your favorite book? And then when you finish that, if you can tell our listening audience, how would you suggest they reach you, whether it's your website or email or phone number? But what is your favorite book? Thank you.
Well, I usually read a different book every month, and I like to read books that are about our famous, you know, leaders. I just finished one on Thomas Jefferson. I thought it was a wonderful book on Thomas Jefferson. I also like to read, I like biographies. I've just finished one on Joe DiMaggio, and I'm reading one right now on another ball player, but You know, the book that I read daily, and that's the truth, is the Bible. You know, that's the one that's got, that one never gets old, and that one can help you every day. So, but I do love to read. There's no doubt about it. I think reading opens up the windows for you for just so many things and opportunities. So, and your other question was?
How would you like for our listeners to contact you? What we're doing is bio, and this is also for Rose. We're going to start giving the contact information in terms of, you know, your favorite way of being contacted, whether sending people to your website or giving your phone number or giving your email. That way, when people listen to your show, and we get thousands of downloads every month, they can do that, go and contact you.
Absolutely. The best way to reach me, the two best ways to reach me is one is through our website, which is DuvalElections.com. That's D-U-V-A-L, elections with an S, .com. And then also my email address is very easy to remember. It's my first letter of my first name, J, then Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D, at COJ, which stands for City of Jacksonville. So COJ.net, N-E-T. So at jholland@coj.net is my email address. And I'd love to get emails from people, and I'd be glad. And one thing I always do is answer all my cell phone calls and all my emails. So anybody who's got any questions, maybe how to get in politics, you know, how to register to vote, anything that we're doing, I would love to comment to them.
All right. Well, you have been a wonderful guest today. Thank you so very much. I just want to remind our listening audience that you have been listening to the Duval County Supervisor of Elections, Jerry Holland, and he has been a great guest. So please share the show, tweet the show, Facebook it, tweet it, put it out on LinkedIn, and enjoy the show. And, Jerry, we're going to get back with you about having us participating with us in one of our 2015 monthly programs with Rosa Carter and the Northeast Florida chapter of the National Association of Black Women in Construction. So thank you so very much, and we appreciate you coming on the show today. And to all of our listening audience, you have been listening to NABWIC Talk. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Thank you.